Yeah, sure. When recreating or showcasing some of the important scenes, like when Marie met Gaddafi, how did you kind of dive into those particular shots compared to what I think you'd be more familiar with as a documentary filmmaker, shooting her movement through something? That must have been different and a change of pace for you, shooting something like her meeting Gaddafi.
Yeah, I mean, my North Star was the same for every single frame of this movie, whether she's, you know, having a romantic embrace at home, receiving an award, getting shot at, interviewing Gaddafi, you know, every single frame, every single moment, every single part of every single thing, you know, authenticity was my North Star. And so, you know, that, you know, his costume, the tent was almost identical to a tent that he actually used. I mean, he was famous for, you know, when he visited the Prime Minister of the UK, of England, you know, he would bring his own tent and then meet in a tent, you know, in the middle of London. You know, he was obviously a sort of larger-than-life character. And so, you know, Rod was, you know, amazing at sort of bringing this man to life in all his scary creepiness that he could.
Was it, with that in mind then, was it wonderful to work with a production designer, art direction person? I mean, obviously, you know, in your previous films, I mean, you're on the go, you're on the run, you're just shooting, and you're not sure what's going to happen, but to have the ability to sit and think throughout these shots and give us a full perspective, how much did you gain from that as a filmmaker, I guess?
I mean, I don't know how much I gained. I guess I was really fortunate to have found myself with an amazing team. And, you know, Sophie Beecher, our production designer, is as OCD as I am when it comes to trying to get the details right. And she, you know, spent months and months and months researching these worlds, bringing them to life, whether, you know, the mattress that Gaddafi lay on, whether it was the blanket in the media center. I mean, they're all almost exact replicas of the actual thing. And, you know, that was important to me. That was important to her. And I think, you know, one of the things, obviously, that I brought to, you know, from my background is, I know what looks real and I know what looks fake. And so anytime anything remotely felt inauthentic or fake, you know, we either changed it or didn't shoot it. So, you know, I was quite, you know, that direction was quite clear to every single department, and you know, everyone did an amazing job at bringing these worlds to life.
What was it like then reconnecting with Scott Solanas on the music side of it and giving us the music of the film, the score? I mean, that's something you guys have shared working on your previous films. How much different or similar was it working on the music for this film compared to your documentaries?
It's funny. I think the music was in some ways probably more subtle in this film than it has been in my documentaries. Is, you know, and that's one of the things I love about working with Scott, is that it's always the film first. It's always story first. You know, he's incredibly talented, but also really empathetic and sensitive to the scene. And I think a lot of composers, it's all about putting, you know, making sure they're heard. And for Scott, it's often making sure he's often not heard. So that, you know, there's countless examples of the film where there's score that's happening, but either you don't even know it's score, or it's really subtle and it's more subtext. Obviously, there's a few times when a score pokes out and is heard in a scene, But those were very deliberate moments. So, you know, what I love about making films is having a family. And in my doc world, I have a family that I've continued to work with, that I will continue to work with. So, you know, it's nice to be able to bring a member of my doc family into the narrative world.
With that being said, I loved what we've been able to see with Target, with now that it's on Showtime. Obviously, you just said that you're going to continue doing docs. Are you hoping to continue in the narrative world as well, or are you going to jump fully back into docs?
Do you mean the trade?
Yeah, I'm not. Nah, did I say the Target? I meant the trade. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Sorry, that threw me for the question was, do I want to keep making Doctor or move on to narrative?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're going to always continue in docs to some extent, like with the trade, but did this experience make you want to jump more into narrative even more?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very, very lucky to be able to do both. If people want me to, I want to continue to do both. I think the world is so malleable right now. And as much as possible, I've tried to make my doc feel like narrative. And I guess, to some degree, I've tried to make this narrative feel like a doc. Hmm. And so, I want to keep playing in this space. I feel extremely lucky to be able to tell stories and to make films. And I feel a huge responsibility. And so, I love to keep telling stories that matter to me, that move me, that scare me, that confound me. I hope I can continue to do so.
Well, Matt, I can't wait to see what you have coming next. And I was blown away by A Private War and have obviously loved your doc. So I hope you just keep doing what you're doing.
Awesome. Well, I really, really appreciate it. Thanks, Todd.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
Good to talk to you again. Yep, thanks.